What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I'm no good at taking good advice, and I'm self-careless, so don't tell me twice that lately I've been so stuck in my head that I forget just about everything my therapist said. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today, oh my God, this was such a needed episode to have experts like this on. So we are joined today by Joy Farrow and Laura Frombach. Joy is a former deputy sheriff, and Laura is a technologist and domestic violence survivor. And together they wrote the book Street Smart Safety for Women, Your Guide to Defensive Living. So they are just like, they themselves are the Swiss Army knife, I feel like, against domestic violence and against just violence outside of the home as well, and how to stay safe. So they taught Delaney and I so many different things today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so great. Like, they have experienced and witnessed so many things, like, as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt like you could ask them anything, and they had so many tips in their back pocket. Such great guidance, things that I would never even think about.
Online dating, traveling by yourself, when you're by yourself at home, like, every topic is covered. Getting into Lyfts or Ubers by yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, gosh, I'm so glad that they came on, and we hope that you guys find this episode helpful. This is going to come out on November 13th, which means that this week I will be in Nashville, Huntsville, and Atlanta. This is a big week of touring. And then in December, I will be in Boston and Tampa. Tampa. Tickets are at kelseycook.com. And I'm sure by now that my tour dates for next year have also been announced. So you can go to my website, like I said, and see a whole bunch of upcoming tour dates.
Awesome.
But you don't.
Yeah. If you like podcasts, I have another podcast for free on my website, DelaneyFisher.com, all about building an unconventional life and career. Really cool interviews with people doing all kinds of cool stuff all over the world. And we just get into trying to figure out where you fit into all this stuff and how to be happy and all that good stuff. So would love to have you over there. And that's it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, here is our interview with Joy and Laura. All right, Joy and Laura, thank you so much for being here today with us.
Hi, thank you.
We're thrilled. Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank you. Yes. So can you start with your favorite or least favorite quote or something along those lines? Because I heard before the show that you've got a little variety on this.
I'm going to say, in a world where you can be anything, be safe.
Oh,
that's a nice I like that. Spin.
Yeah, that is a great one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my least favorite quote is 1 in 3 women globally have been the victim of physical or sexual attack in their lifetime. One in three.
Oh gosh, that is a
least so that's set. My least favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crushing thing to hear to mm-hmm. really wrap your head around that.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to collaborate on this book?
One second. Sure. I am the victim, well, I'm a survivor of family violence. My parents, you know, were generational family, domestic abusers, that type of thing. And I thought for years that my mother was mentally ill. And it took me almost my entire adult life to correlate my mother's mental illness with domestic violence. It was so pervasive that I really just accepted it as normal. And that aha moment when I realized that the two were correlated really changed my life. It changed the trajectory of who I am.
I did not come from a violent household. Just came from a middle American upstate New York Jewish family. I started in retail security and then I moved into law enforcement, and I was in road patrol for 28 years.
Wow.
And when Joy and I were talking about our joint experiences, we realized that we both had different experiences and that our collaboration could impact the lives of women, particularly younger women who tend to be naive and vulnerable, and that if they understood what predators were like and predatory thinking and domination and control in the family and that type of thing, that we could actually change lives.
Wow. So you guys both having such different backgrounds, maybe we can start with the online dating aspect. Mm-hmm. And if you could share this, maybe some safety tips or red flags that people can look for when they are doing online dating.
Okay. We both are veterans of online dating. So we have real life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. When Us I too. Went online, I had a strategy. And my strategy was, first of all, to stay safe. And also to market myself in the best light possible. And that's really our philosophy, is that you can have fun dating. I mean, that's why we do it, isn't it? We want to have fun. We want to meet people that we wouldn't otherwise have met. And right. We want to stay safe. So one of the things, or several of the things that we suggest to women is, first of all, do not use the free version of the apps, the dating apps. Almost all of them have a free version. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We always say, if you're not paying for the entree, you're the meal. And what that means is that these dating companies are conglomerates. They're selling your information. They're selling you ads. They're selling you. And as you get into the premium versions or the versions where you may pay a little bit more, the features to keep you safe increase a little bit. So some apps offer a verification of somebody's social media. Others, actually the Match.group used to partner with an online security app called Garbo. We just found out a couple weeks ago that collaboration is gone. So Garbo, who used to verify, they would check on public databases and whatnot to see if somebody had a history of violence or criminal activity, they just went out of business. And so Match, the Match group, which has Tinder and Match.com and Plenty of Fish and all that, you know, really leaves users in the lurch. But aside from all of that, you get messaging, you get upper level messaging, that type of thing. And you're going to meet people who are also investing in their future. So that's a couple of the things that we recommend to women is really take a couple of extra steps, because sexual predators target women online and you have no idea, no idea who they are. And anybody, you know, with the anonymity of technology, anybody can be anyone who they want to be, and right. you don't know any differently. So that's what we want women, everybody really, but particularly women who are vulnerable, to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Such a great tip.
And when you start online, you want to, well, of course, look at the picture. And no, we all know that sometimes the picture doesn't exactly coincide with who or what the person is just yet until you physically meet them. So, you know, you're going to go by that, but speculate, I'm not sure. A lot of people use old pictures. Maybe they didn't look like that. Maybe that's not even their picture until they meet you. But you want to look at their profile and see if the picture matches anything that they've said they've done. Are, you know, are they athletic? Does anything match? They said they're a hiker. You know, start going through there. And we say, be a flirty detective. So put your hat on.
I love that.
And start looking through some things.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I feel like that needs to be a new podcast t-shirt, is yes. be a flirty detective. That's so funny.
So good. I have questions like, what are some common red flags when you meet somebody in person? Maybe somebody approaches you at a grocery store or a bar or anything like that. And maybe they seem pretty friendly, but you just don't really know. Like, is there anything that you can kind of point to in those scenarios?
One of the things that we talk about in our book is your safety intuition. And safety intuition isn't anything exotic. It isn't something, you know, that you need a crystal ball for. Your safety intuition is simply your five senses reporting your environment back to your subconscious. And it reports actually a lot more than your conscious mind can keep up with. So if you start to get feelings that somebody is, something's off, and not even creepy, but just something is off, maybe somebody's a little too friendly, maybe they, you know, don't respect your boundaries or won't take no, maybe the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or you just get a bad feeling, that is your five senses really reporting back to you. Maybe there's tiny little expressions on somebody's face or something you might not consciously notice, but your body notices. And these are, our body has been reporting danger back to us since we've been on the savannah. Our ancestors have been on the savannah. But the issue with women is that we've been socialized to dismiss that. We've been socialized to minimize other people's, you know, if we make them uncomfortable. So suppose somebody does start giving you creeps, or you just think something's wrong with that person. Our tendency in our socialization says, no, you're overreacting. Don't worry about that. And we say, girl, you respect that feeling.
So sometimes... Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say you're not going to meet anybody when you're out, because that's what happens. You're in a grocery store, you're somewhere where maybe somebody's seen you there before, the same apartment building, you go to the same grocery store. You know, there are a lot of places that are close by like that, where people may see people from their building. Oh, that's so-and-so. Well, maybe they didn't get a chance to talk to you. And now, you know, maybe they're approaching you, and but you're like, oh, okay, now I know why I didn't want to talk to them. So if you brush them off and they don't get the hint, and you're walking to your car and they're still following you or something like that, then you know, the hair should start standing up, and you should be saying, well, that's a little odd. You know, I kind of told them I was in a hurry or something, and now they're still following me. So little social cues that it seems like this person didn't get right away, because anybody else would say, oh, I got it here. Take my number. Listen, maybe we can do it again. But when they don't get it, that should be hint number one, you know, not following you out, not keep going, trailing after you, peeking behind corners, little things like that, following you around the bar. I told him I wasn't interested, you know, I'm with someone. So little things like that you put in the back of your head, because when you do leave the business, you want to take a look back and make sure they're not following you, that they didn't get pissed off and, you know, want to have something to say.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When somebody's on a first date, are there specific safety tips that you guys have in terms of like things to carry with you or resources to have or just anything like that?
Well, some of the resources we say is wearable technology now is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have apps on your phone that can alert your friends and your family. Especially there's a dating app that can call you. So you can program it in and it can call you on a date. So this way, if you weren't interested, you've timed that call to interrupt and you're like, oh, you know what? I got to take this. I got to go. And that's your out. So, you know, that's one thing. And some of the other dating apps have GPS in them that, you know, you push a button like Noonlight. You push a button and you can get yourself safely to wherever you have to go. But if there's an issue, it can immediately alert whoever you've designated and the police to your exact location. You can also have in these apps that you're going on a date, what the person looks like and their name. And this is very helpful. And it's also very helpful, especially if you're in college. And of course, you're going to be meeting a lot of people. It's a good thing to keep the lines of communication open and let your family know, hey, I've just met somebody. Don't keep it a secret, because things happen. And then the family says, no, she's not seen anybody. Well, she was, and nobody knew about it. So it's good to let somebody know and your friends.
Oh, so that's such a great point.
You know when you're out and know when you're back.
That makes so much sense. I know that for me, anytime I have felt threatened in person anyway with like a stranger or something, I immediately go into like nice girl mode where I'm trying to be very friendly and polite, hoping that that will save me in some way or I'll be able to remove myself. What is the line there where, I mean, it was just kind of a default. I didn't know what else to do. Is that a good way to handle it? Is there something better? I don't know. Ooh, anything about that?
We were going to say the self-preservation.
Self-preservation.
Yeah.
But, you know, polite. Your safety intuition lets you know when something is off. So let's say you're in an elevator. You're in a hotel, you're in an elevator, and you're by yourself, and a guy walks in. Here's what we do. We walk out. Now, Joy and I will handle this differently. Joy will just walk out. I will pretend that I just got a phone call and I'm taking that phone call. Oh. So I think it depends on the situation. And I think that we know what to do. It is just to decide at any given situation what the right thing is. Because sometimes, wouldn't you agree, that mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, Karate Girl, you know, is the right thing to do. And I use myself as an example. So I've been attacked physically attacked a couple times in my life, and I'm not a big person. And what has saved me was going right for the throat, a punch to the throat. But by that time, the person had already physically grabbed me. And so you don't want it, hopefully, to get to that point. But you can read that situation better than anybody. And there's no, I don't think, one size fits all.
And very true. So you can, let's just say, well, I've taken self-defense classes, which I think, even if you just took a couple of moves somewhere, just a few. I mean, you don't have to get a whole degree in it, but you know what? Just so you learn a few things, how to get your hand out, how to slip out of this, how to back away when somebody grabs your neck, just little things like that, you know, are good to know self-defense wise. But there's a difference between the two of us handling each other. And when you're in an elevator, you really don't know this person. You smile and you look over, but you really don't know. So why put yourself in a box where nobody's going to hear you? You don't know this person, and anybody could hit the stop button, and now you're stuck between floors. So that's a thought. You know, even if you, which my tools are, even if you have pepper spray, I don't think you want to be in an elevator after you spray pepper spray. Right. So now you're in a situation where I've had to spray pepper spray and I'm stuck. So yeah, some of the tools I carry are, and say you should carry, are pepper spray, a small flashlight. And I mean one of those metal flashlights that have a very strong beam. Mm-hmm. And it's about that big. Fits in the palm of your hand. You can wrap the cord around it. So this way you can use it during the day or at night on strobe mode, and it distracts the person, you know, especially right in their eyes, like pepper spray. So anything to the face, you know, they're going to immediately be distracted, and that's your getaway. And my third fail-safe one is the pen, the tactical pen. So at one end is the glass break, and then it's a regular pen, and it is practically indestructible. So the pepper spray.
How would you use the tactical pen?
The tactical pen is, you can just hold it like that. It's not going to break. And here's the tip. Mm-hmm. So it can break glass. It can hurt. I mean, I've stuck myself in the purse just to show you the little teeny little piece. So, I mean, it's great just as a stab. You're going to stab somebody in the arm. They're going to let go. Okay. So it's great. And you can get it online, and it's a pen. So, I mean, you can use it, carry it, and it's very sleek enough, no matter what you're wearing, you know, to keep it handy. And that's another thing, is if you're going to have anything, and I know plenty of women carry nothing, and you know, the time to carry something or have something is before you need it. If you never use it, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But lately, a lot of things have been happening. And also another thing, what if it's not you? What if it's somebody else or somebody you're with? At least you know that, I got this in my purse. I'll just stab them in the back with it. You know what? You keep stabbing somebody with this until they let go. Meanwhile, somebody's calling 911. You know, it's not going to be long before help gets there, but at least you have something. know. And if you don't have anything, you look around in the environment real quick. And keep that in mind also when you're in a hotel. So you don't have anything, but you look around real quick. There's a fire extinguisher. You know what? Break glass, grab the fire extinguisher, and that's what you use. So you can use things in your environment, outside somebody's house. You know, those are things you think of when you're outside and you suddenly realize I have to defend myself, you know, by a store outside. So you look around, what can be in the environment, because you'd be surprised what kind of strength that you suddenly have to be able to use something, a piece of wood or whatever. But, you know, just something a little out of the box.
Yeah.
I am getting one of those pens. That is such a great tip because, you know, you hear about like, you know, tasers and pepper spray and all these things. And I'm like, I feel like I would fumble in the moment of needing them, or I don't even know how to use them because how do you practice safely and all that? But I love that. I'm writing that down so I can get myself a pen and all of my family.
Well, the other good thing about the pen is that we have traveled through airports with that.
Yeah. I fly with the pen.
Yeah. Right. That's amazing. So,
you show TSA that it can actually write.
Now you're right about the, you know, a taser or a stun gun, because those are a little different. The taser shoots projectiles. You've seen like the police use the gun and the projectiles go and they kind of light them up a little and then they're down for 5 seconds. A stun gun, you have to use by your hand and jam it right into their neck, or it actually needs to feel the skin, or it may not take effect. Like a very heavy person wearing a coat or a leather coat or something like that, they may get a little buzz, but they're not going to feel that the impact to like shock them to let go. So that's something. I mean, it, you know, it could work for people if you know, going to use it up close to somebody. But, you know, in general, the pen can go everywhere. And this spray is definitely something. The spray will always keep somebody away. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to breathe. It gets in your eyes. And it's tough to see. So seeing and breathing, they're going to put their hands up to their face. So any kind of pepper spray. And now there's actually a smart pepper spray that Sabre makes a smart pepper spray that when you use it, it can alert police and your contacts. So that's extra step up.
My God, yeah, that's amazing.
It works with an app on your phone.
Yes. Works with Noonlight, the app Noonlight. Mm-hmm.
My friend just sent me a link to, I believe it's Sabre brand, that they've made a pepper spray that is in the shape of a pen. It's like, it looks like it's about the same size as the tactical pen. Mm-hmm. And she said that she has been able to go through TSA with that undetected. And so I've been interested in having something like that because it's unfortunate that you can't take like a regular pepper spray through with you.
No. Something just happened on a plane. You don't want a, you know, propellant in there.
Of course. And I've even been nervous to have the pen version of it with me on a plane because, like you said, God forbid
you'll be
knock it wrong. Yeah, something goes off. It's just I don't know. Pepper spray does scare me,
but not the can. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
It's just not going to go off by itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I also had purchased a flare bracelet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wearable tech.
Yeah. That's the good. Wearable tech stuff where I'm shocked at how you can program that where it just, you know, looks like a bracelet, but you can push any button on it and have... you know, contacts alerted, send your GPS location. It's wild. Yeah.
Anything is better than nothing.
Also about pepper spray, Sabre also makes bear spray. And so when you're walking your dog, personal story, we both have it, walking your dog, bear spray will go 30 feet. because, well, it wants to keep the bear away from you, and it'll shoot pepper spray, concentrated pepper spray, 30 feet. And wow. We were dog walking one night, and an 80-pound golden got out of its house and came tearing right at us and the dogs we were walking. And I had the bear spray with me, and I used to carry it. And Joy said, if you're going to carry that, you make sure you practice. So I practiced with it. And when the dog came charging up, growling and everything, you know, it was a big dog.
Yeah.
I was left-handed. I flipped the top off and I sprayed the dog about 20 feet away. Wow. And it broke off the attack. And wow. So now whenever I walk the dog, I still carry pepper spray, still carry the bear spray, because sometimes I walk early in the morning and I've seen coyotes out mm-hmm. and about. So, we you know, bears. Whether it's two-legged or four-legged, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. there's different types of pepper spray, whether it's the little pen kind or whether, you know, it's mm-hmm. the big bear spray, you know, that can really benefit you and break off an attack no matter what the attack is.
The point is, you want to do what you can. So, you know, the pepper spray is good because if you feel somebody coming close to you, like you're saying, you feel uncomfortable and they're coming close to you and you're trying to say, I don't want that. You know what? The pepper spray, the small cans can spray between 6 and 8 feet because that's the distance that you want to keep them away. So you don't really want something all the time. You know, you want secondary options. Is that, let me keep somebody away. And if that doesn't work, then I have something extra for you in case they've got through the first wall. So those are like, you know, things to think of, is that, you know, you don't need to carry a whole arsenal of things. But you know what? What if this dropped out of you and you lost it? Or it was dark or something, I was going to push the button and now I broke it or something, the batteries are gone and this thing, you got to have something else, be ready.
And all of these are very inexpensive. Right. So, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, $30 for all of them, it's not going to break the bank.
Oh my yeah. gosh. These are so, I didn't even know a lot of this existed. These are amazing. I am definitely going to get that bear spray because there's so many coyote attacks in my neighborhood on people and dogs. And I have been thinking, what would I do in that situation? Yeah. And I actually try to strategize while I'm walking them. Like, okay, I would throw them over the fence in this neighbor's yard and I would run, or I'd put them in a trash can, or I would try to get in a trash. I mean, the most ridiculous things, not realizing I could probably just get some spray. That would be helpful.
And so that's, our neighbors are talking about, they take pictures on
next door.
Yes.
Yeah. The door, what's the door alarm?
Oh, ring.
Yeah.
Ring,
so they're always putting that out there going, look, there was a bear here yesterday.
Right.
You know, and so you wouldn't think we're in bear country, but we are, you know, bear, coyotes. So, you know, you never know.
Oh my gosh. These are so good.
Yeah. You talk about being polite. And you're very polite. So, you know, there's a way that predators get you to stop. And of course, they're going to start out being polite. So, you know, excuse me. Oh, and you seem like the very polite kind that would say, oh, hi, what do you need? Okay. We don't always have to stop for the whim of a stranger. Oh, right. Somebody needs directions. Oh, okay. That's my job. It's not your job. They're not going to report you for who, you know, because you kept going and, hey, that lady didn't stop and give me directions, you know, or whatever. It doesn't matter.
What's your favorite? Excuse me, miss.
Yes. Excuse me, miss. Oh, I mean, we've said this to friends of ours and they said, oh, yeah, I hear that. I would ask, what do they need? Why? Why do you right. have to ask what they need?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. These are so great.
Not the world's Swiss Army knife.
No. And what happens is, right, yeah. it closes the gap of you stopping and them coming closer. So now, if they wanted to grab your purse, which we've had a friend happen to, they excused themselves, surprised her in a bank parking lot and grabbed her purse, and the fight was on. Because she was surprised and she was like, oh, hi. Well, he must have been a little new at it. And he like fumbled after the excuse me, miss. And she said, yes. And there was that delay of a wait and then the fight for the purse. And then she realized, hey, this isn't a pleasant thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you hear that, you hear it in the mall. This is not your friend. Excuse me is not your friend. And you don't need to do anything.
Oh my
god. It's a great reminder.
So good. We had like it's so good for women to keep this in mind that we've been conditioned to be people pleasers and it's not our freaking job to take care of everybody around us. Yeah. And I think this has been a life-changing. This is so good because I think for me in the past I thought, well, if I'm nice, then maybe they won't attack me or something but if I'm kind of rude or cold or I don't respond, that might add fuel to their fire to like come get me or something. But it makes sense that the closer that you get, the easier it is for them to do something. And, you know, maybe by you just keeping on walking, they're going to be like, oh, it's just, I'll get something that might be easier or something, like kind of letting you go. It's such a weird, I feel like that's kind of, yeah, it's going to have to be like my new default, I feel like, depending on the situation. I got a question about, I feel very nervous when I'm home by myself. Like my husband's been out of town and I get so nervous at night and I like put doors up against or chairs up against my doors. I have the Ring app and all that stuff, which is very helpful, but I can't fight this just like anxiety that I have. And I'm sure if I took more self-defense classes or things like that, it might help me, but is there anything that you could share that might help with somebody's mindset about like being home alone at night, knowing that they're probably going to be okay, but just anything that you have felt that is helpful for people in kind of that state of mind.
Do you like to be in one particular room at night? I mean, like, would it be more comfortable if you were in a room that you knew I locked the door in this room?
I'm usually,
like at night, I always lock the bedroom door. And I mean, the house is a fortress, but still for years of even growing up, it was just a thing. And then when I got older and I realized how much crime there was, I said, you know what, I'm just going to lock the door. So it just like an extra layer of protection. Also, you know, just either keeping your phone with you or knowing that you have contacts quickly or that you have some means of protection and not physically, you know, either A, besides there's a different kind of spray, there's even a pepper foam in case it comes to that. And so it sticks to the face like shaving cream kind of, and it would stay on the face unlike a big spray of the other canisters that just comes out and goes, you know, all over the big screen. This actually is directed to, but it's just something that you can have. There's also door alarms that you can put under the door. There's alarms for the windows, inexpensive little alarms for the windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just one more step that it's secure. So like, let's just say you're moving into a new place and, you know, the first thing you want to do, if it's not an apartment or it's a house, you know, be sure that the windows all lock. And they have a good lock and, you know, they're not like jalousies and, you know, where you can just take them out and bust open the screen. So think of how somebody might get in and secure your front door a little better too. And make sure that there's a large enough people, which is a really good one, a large enough people where you can see the person's entire body, not just the people like apartments have where you try to do the best you can and all you can see is their nose and eyes, but you can actually see their whole body. It gives you a bigger frame of vision in there.
I have two more suggestions. I have bear spray. Keep bear spray by your bed.
Yeah.
And so that if that the alarm or whatever goes off on your door, like I said, bear spray goes 30 feet. The other thing, if you're traveling, hornet spray. So if you fly someplace and you're in a hotel room by yourself and you get a little anxious in a hotel by yourself, I do, that you can just go to any grocery store, almost any convenience store, and get hornet spray. Hornet spray goes 20 feet as well, but it's, you know, $5. You can buy it while you're traveling. You can keep it by your bed. You can keep, as Joy said, one of those door alarms so that if somebody does breach the door, but that you always have something that doesn't allow somebody to get too close to you, but you will have some means of defense.
Well, once there is some loud, is it a siren? Or even if they hit the glass and it makes a siren, nobody wants to come in with that going off. Then the lights go on, you know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's another thing. Is the automatic lights that we have when we go away, we put those on.
Oh yeah, the timers and whatnot.
The timers on your lights. You could do that while you're home. Mm-hmm. So you don't always have to do it when you're away. But you know what? Oh, the light goes on over here. The light goes on over here, but you're still watching TV over here. So it's just something to mix things up. Another thing, let me go back to the front door. Is when you're home alone, two things is one, just because somebody knocks on the door, I don't care if you know all your neighbors in the apartment building or your house or your block, somebody knocks on the door, that doesn't mean you need to open it unless you physically know that it's your friend. Hi, how you doing? Okay. But other than that, what is it? Oh, package. Oh, hi, I'm selling. I don't have to open the door and I won't. Too many assaults and murders have occurred just by being pleasant enough to open the door. Oh, selling candy. Okay, sometimes it seems nice enough unless you know who they are, but that's a ploy. Mm-hmm. Is they can use the, don't think they don't, but they do. They use children and then, you know, the adult is waiting nearby to breach the door. And then it's too late.
Your favorite, the car window.
Yeah, the car window. One more thing about the front door. The other thing is when they, sometimes what they do at night is they'll just knock on the door or make a loud noise outside. So you think you're, you know, they think you're going to go outside and look. Okay, not a good idea. If you need to, you can call the police and say, I just heard the loudest crash. I'm not going outside to look.
Right.
That's all. Don't go. That's what they want you to do. We've had that in our area where they actually put the police put an alert out and said, be aware of this. This is what's happening. They would knock on the door. You know, it moves around. It's they've been doing that for a long time, you know, but it's a way to get in. You've opened the door. The other thing is the car, your car window. Your car window, like your front door, is already closed. You don't need to open that to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
So you could speak through it. So keep your car window closed when you're speaking to strangers. Stay safe.
These are so good because I feel like, yeah, when I'm home alone, I know like, okay, my dogs are noisy. If anything happens, I have the Ring doorbell, you know, I can lock things and all that. But I felt like I was putting this pressure on myself to become like, you know, the next American Ninja Warrior. Like I got to take self-defense classes and I have to bulk up. And I'm like, oh, or I could just get some spray and practice these things, you know, these tips that you're both sharing. Mm-hmm. These are so, so good. Kelsey.
Yeah. So you touched on staying in hotel rooms. So for my job, I travel on an almost weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I am taking Lyfts or Ubers every week. Mm-hmm. I am staying in a hotel by myself. And so my anxiety with that is almost always through the roof. I had seen a TikTok video where it was I think retired police officer works with safety things now. And it was a video showing somebody trying to break into a hotel room by, it was like a wire contraption that went under the door that hooks up to then open the door from the inside. Jeez. And so, yeah, in this TikTok video, the officer had said to put a, roll a towel up and put it between your door handle and the door so that it can like help prevent something like that from being able to latch. But he said that that's not like a fail safe thing. I get a little freaked out traveling with the door alarms or the door wedge alarms, just because I'm afraid that they're going to go off and then it's going to be like the loudest, like not with somebody trying to break in, but just me setting it up or housekeeping or something. It's so hard to find that balance between like, I want to feel safe and I don't want to be so stressed trying to feel safe.
I know.
There is another tool that could be helpful, and it is available online, and it basically is a mechanical device that fits into the door. And it's a little, I wish that we had ours with us. Yeah.
It's like the arm.
Lock.
No, it's a small plastic device that fits in between the door jamb and the door and itself, and it locks. And we can send you the link to it. But it's very helpful for hotel rooms to bolster that security because it's an extra level of physical security. So that even if you have seen the videos of somebody with their coat hanger or whatever device they have, they're not going to be able to get this device.
You can't slip anything.
You cannot slip anything because it actually slips in the door latch.
And the lock.
And it locks physically. Mm-hmm. It would be physically impossible for them to be able to jimmy that. The door, they would have to kick the door in and the door would give first.
Okay. Great. Oh, so yeah, I would love if you sent that link because I've been trying to figure more things out with that. Do you guys have any tips for being in a Lyft? Because that gives me anxiety every week, just getting into a car with somebody that I don't know and having to trust that. I mean, I always make sure that the person has 5 stars. They've been driving for quite a while. I always double check the license plate. I have let cars go whose the color of the car does not match the color of the car that pulls up, even if it's the same make and model. I'm just like, sorry, you gotta change it in your profile. But any other tips?
And of course, you never want to get in one if yours doesn't show up and one drives up while you're waiting and it said, hey, my ride didn't.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Okay,
so that's a no. You don't just get in one, even though it says Lyft in there. And he said, no, my ride just did not show up. So you say no. But some things that you can do is, first off, when you ask the driver, you know, hello, here's your name before you get in. This way, just have him say his name. So this way you can tell if he's intoxicated or anything that feel would be an issue driving. That's one. And then when you go to get in the car, look at make sure the door handles work, and mm-hmm. that they're still, you know, that the car is in good condition and that the door works and that you can get out. So before you leave, get in, get out, make sure that that door opens, because in the door jam where the door closes is where the child locks little button is. So if that is up, kind of like a police car, you're not going to be able to get out. You would have to use your tactical pen and break that window to get out. Okay. So people have been in a situation assaulted where they couldn't get out because the child safety lock was on purpose. Wow. So something to be aware of, because that's your way out. Also, when you sit in the car, even though it's a beautiful car, sit in the back. Oh, yeah. You know, you can sit in the front now, but sit in the back and sit in the passenger side so you can see what he's doing, just to make sure nothing odd is going on, no weapons or nothing's happening there. And you can also be sure that he's not speeding or something that you feel uncomfortable with.
Okay.
So to that end, also, the two devices that we talked about, the flashlight, you can travel with the flashlight, and also your tactical pen is a backup. So you could have your flashlight in your hand. You can shine it in their eyes if, you know, you believe that they're going off in the wrong direction and they stop and, you know, something starts to come down. You can shine it in their eyes. And, you know, as Joy just said, that tactical pen will break a window. So you're not going to be trapped in a car with anybody. You can use the pen to defend yourself, and you can use the pen to get out. Wow.
And also, there are safety app in the app. So, you know, be sure who you're using.
Right.
And, you know, understand that in case of an emergency, you know, go to that section in the app so that if you're in a situation, you don't have to worry who to call. You can actually hit the button through the app and, you know, alert police that way. And if for some other reason 911 is easier for you, then that's what you do. But if you feel uncomfortable, you know, first say, I would like to just, you know, I would like you to stop now and get out here.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen, you know, then
You don't have to be polite.
No, then you start, you know, pressing the button. But, you know, the another thing is to let them know that they don't have to know who you're seeing, where you're going. So things like that, you lie about, of course. You know, you're here for a big convention. You know, a lot of people are waiting for me over here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you can be on the phone letting them know, I'm tracking this right now. And I should be there in what, 10 minutes? So this way they know, hey, it's being tracked. My friends are out there waiting. Yeah, he should be right there. So just, it's more to let them know that, oh no, I'm not alone, even though you just picked me up at a bar, or, you know, I might have been drinking a little bit. So
Yeah,
those are great tips. What about for the other way around, like a Lyft or Uber rideshare driver who wants to remain safe while, you know, they're driving strangers around in their car? Is there anything that they can do? I was a Lyft driver back in the day, and that always freaked me out. Never knew who was getting in my car. Is there anything that you would share kind of on the other end of things?
My expandable baton.
Oh, I need one of those.
Oh,
hell yeah.
26 inches
of steel, and it expands.
Whoa.
Joy keeps it on the driver's side so she can always grab it, and that thing will crack your skull.
Whoa. We were not allowed to hit anybody in the head because we could kill them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's an option.
In the leg.
But
carrying the spray or the gel, something that's always handy. And I'm sure that as a Lyft driver, as a rideshare driver, boy, my instincts would be flaring the whole time.
The same thing. I mean, I would have an app ready, mainly because they have to drive and look in the mirror more than the passenger right. looking, you know, forward and planning whatever they're doing. But the driver, you know, has to take care of them at, you know, at some point.
And some of the safety apps actually also have a panic button. So you mm-hmm. can just hit that panic button. And as long as the button is held, it's kind of like a grenade. As long as the button is held, nothing happens. But if you let up on it and you don't put your code in within 10 seconds, it'll notify law enforcement that there's an issue.
With the GPS. Oh. So this is just miraculous safety. Right.
Oh, right. Wow.
Oh, whoa. One more for the Lyft for you. Don't drink anything that's offered.
Right.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The, in the even water.
Not even water.
Oh,
so, no. Mainly because things can happen and it has happened. So right. Anything can be put in there. You never know how, but yeah, carry your own water. It sounds nice. And seeing we've been in plenty of vehicles that have had it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I could use that.
But if I was by myself,
no.
What are some common things that we can, I don't know, learn from you as far as all the situations that you saw, whether where did the most kind of attacks happen, whether it's, the car window, the elevator, like what are things that you wish you could have told people before an incident, or like what kind of tools or tips you wish you could have equipped them with that could help all of us?
Well, your front door, like I said, is one. Plenty of calls there. Leaving your windows open. People have broken into homes when they're not home, and then they're in there, and then they're surprised somebody has broken in. Left their car unlocked. A lot of people, just hard to believe, but just leave their house unlocked. The house comes with a door with a lock, and so does your car. They should always be locked. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many hundreds of calls I've had of people being attacked in one of those locations and walking to your car and being blindsided because, well, you didn't use your peripheral vision at all, and you were so immersed in your phone that you didn't see this person has been walking behind you for a while, and then they've been attacked. And that's why people will say, I need that, they came out of nowhere. Well, they didn't really. They found that you weren't even looking, and they just walked up on you. Those are a lot. Leaving a bar with somebody, being intoxicated, let's just say a little bit, and you know, who hasn't been, but leaving a bar or some establishment with just somebody who says, oh, I can help you. If I heard that line more times than I would like to.
Yeah.
Gosh.
You don't need to do that. I mean, even if you had to call the police and ask them to help take you home, I would opt for that over than just somebody. Because what you're showing is that you're vulnerable to this person. They've already watched you. They've seen you stumble. They know that you're by yourself, making their way out to the front door. I'm going that way too. Where are you going? So a couple of questions later, and now you're by yourself. So you've already told them, I'm by myself. I'm going home by myself. So how many times do you have to say that, you know, for them to go, well, nobody's going to know it was me,
Right. Thank you for that. That's super helpful. And Laura, my question for you is, you mentioned something at the beginning of the episode of the connection between mental illness and domestic violence. Would you be willing to share any more about that connection that you've learned about?
Sure. The connection is twofold, really. First of all, blows to the head. So we talk about professional athletes and traumatic brain injury. Well, actually, traumatic brain injury occurs far more often in victims of domestic violence than it does actually in professional athletes. Secondly, and this is unfortunately becoming a lot more common, is strangulation. So whether it's strangulation during sex, strangulation during domestic violence, it takes more pressure to crack an egg than it does to strangle somebody. So think of the pressure that it takes to crack an egg. Well, a lot less than that is required. And if you cut off somebody's ear for, you know, even 20, 30 seconds, it can cause brain injury. You know, domestic violence doesn't start in a vacuum. It starts with dating. And it starts specifically with love bombing. And that can occur on the first date. And love bombing is when your date or your partner just showers you with attention. You're the one. I love you. I've never met anybody like you. And you know, that's so much fun. It feels good. And that's the American dream for us, isn't it? Oh my gosh, it's a whirlwind romance. Well, love bombing is actually the first hook in the domestic violence process because we think, oh, we're in love. We're in love. And then when, you know, they believe that the bond that you guys have bonded, then the abuse starts or the violence starts. But so many women still associate their relationship with that first couple of dates when you had the whirlwind romance and you were so happy together. So that was also the story of my parents as well, that they were happy, they met, they had a whirlwind romance, but you know, it had a bad ending. And so our message to women is if they notice those patterns that somebody is trying to control you or dominate you early in the relationship, you know, as attractive as that person sounds, you got to get out because it's not going to get any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Else, anything?
Yeah, I had one more question. So you're talking about the Ring camera, home security, all of that. Is there a company that you guys like the best in terms of like full home security?
We like Ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We like Ring. And I will tell you that as far as all around personal security mm-hmm. for women, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned it, Kelsey, we like Sabre.
Yeah. Okay.
We do. Great. And the Ring camera, I mean, you know, there's others, but the Ring camera was very easy to put up.
Right.
So, you know, you're like, well, I'm not technical.
A lot of features. Easy.
You know, yeah. It took.
Keeps the video yeah. recording.
Yeah. 30
notifies
seconds
to put immediately.
Up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had one at the townhouse we were living in because that was really just like one main entry. It's much smaller. We very recently moved into a house and it just feels like there is more to protect. And mm-hmm. so I didn't know if the Ring was still the way to go or if it needed mm-hmm. to be more of like an ADT, like, you know what I mean? More sensors, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
You know, sometimes it's all what you want. One of the most important things for a home is different from an apartment because sometimes, yes, no, first floor. But when you have sliding doors,
yeah,
in all the calls that I've handled, they're coming in through a sliding door. Mm. So, you know, if you can put the extra effort into buying something for the handle, you put something down in the track,
mm-hmm.
where they can't pick it up and pull it over, which is why, you know, short of breaking the glass, which, you know, a lot of times they don't want to do because, well, of course, people are going to hear breaking glass. So they usually try to do what they can to pick it up and pull it off its track. So, you know, little things like that, unless you are going to go with the sensors, you want to go into places that are going to be easy like that to get a body through, and a sliding door is always number one. So, okay. you know, you walk around your house, you look and see, oh, that garage door, window. I should get that fixed. You know, anything that you can keep locked all the time, your garage door, you know, more secure locks getting into the house. Mm-hmm. A good lock for the front door is now the numbers, the what am I using out there?
Oh, the programmable.
Right. Mm. That's good. You know, and that's another thing, you know, is who's been to your house with keys. You know, you don't think of that. You're like, oh, the handyman's coming, or somebody for the building. Yeah, they come in here all the time. Well, if you know that as an apartment, keep your bedroom door locked, you know, or something, lock something up if they're coming in and like spraying your house or something.
Right.
You know, I don't trust everybody, especially people that work, you know, in facilities like that where they're going to do, you know, hundreds of apartments spraying the building, and they just take the keys from the complex and they just go along. So you have to keep that in mind, what type of things could get stolen. So
right,
secure your items.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned, you know, the domestic violence, and I know that a lot of people might feel like they can't leave or they feel trapped, or, you know, what can somebody do in that situation if they know they have to leave, but they are afraid that their safety will be threatened if they try? What are some resources they can, I don't know, take advantage of?
Leaving is the most important time, because the abuser recognizes, and the instant they recognize that they're going to lose control, that's when a lot of these suicide murders happen.
Dangerous time.
Yeah, the dangerous time. And actually, a lot of mass murders in the United States are actually family violence. It's actually family violence where the abuser has just gone nuts because he's lost control. So from my experience, we in the family can read an abuser's mind, can read their moods in an instant. As soon as somebody walks in the house, you can tell what kind of mood they're in. You can tell whether you're in danger. And so no matter what anybody else would tell the victim, they will know the time to leave. And if they're making plans to leave and they're something in them says, no, 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 it's not time yet. He knows what's going on, or they know what's going on. You are the one who knows the best. But the most important thing to remember is you are not alone. You have a community, whatever that community is. You have a church, you have a family, and maybe the abuser has talked your family into their crap. Your neighbors, you know who you can trust, and trust your community. Because what abusers want more than anything is to isolate the victim so that they can control your sense of reality. They can control your sense of who you are, and you're not that person. So that's what I would say is make plans to leave and make them carefully. But once you're gone, stay gone. Because the average woman leaves that situation 7 times before she's able to break it off, because she's been love bombed. She still feels for that person.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me add. So a good thing to have in place, if you know things are getting worse and you don't know what to do in a domestic situation, is have a plan with a trusted friend. So whether it's a work colleague, you have to invest in somebody, a neighbor, even that you don't really know. And that might even be the best kind if it's a neighbor that really you can just talk to and just say, if I call you, if I tell you this code word, if you hear me say this line, call the police. You know, I need help immediately. So just so you can bring in somebody else and know that it's not the police the first time, but at least you can have a lifeline to a friend, somebody's house you can go to that maybe the person doesn't know. Don't go to your family's house. That's going to be the first choice. So you want to have some other friend, but you want to have a plan so they don't go, why are you here? Oh, maybe we should. And they're, you know, totally oblivious to what's happening. You need to let them in and you need to let them know. And, you know, and if you are the person listening to this and somebody has told you this, then make sure, you know, that you believe them, even though that you know this person and, oh, you know, I've seen them on the block and they seem like a nice person. Realize that you need to believe the victim telling you they're in the middle of the situation and they're, you know, it's hard for them to ask for help.
It is. So, hard. But that's the first step is to ask right. for help.
Is to come up with a little plan, but bring in trusted people.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for giving us your time. I know we've been on for over an hour now, so we will wrap up and let you go.
We are happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Where can people find your book and your work and all that? Where can people find all your stuff?
Our website is streetsmartsafety.org, and we would love for you to join our Facebook community. You can ask us questions. Awesome. So if women have questions mm-hmm. about their safety, if they have questions about even if they're in a domestic situation, they could private message us. Mm-hmm. Street Smart Safety for Women on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, but LinkedIn. Our communication method is by Facebook.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing this work. You guys are changing lives, saving lives. Thank you so, so much. Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, right. Kelsey and Delaney.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh my gosh. I have a list of things that I'm going to buy for myself and my sisters and just everybody.
Yeah. What an invaluable conversation with them. Just something for everybody and just so good to kind of like brush up on those basics of just like listen to your instincts,
right?
Be aware when you're walking around by yourself. I know that we can all so easily just be having our head in our phones and not being aware of our surroundings and just all those things.
Yeah. The just better safe than sorry. And like trusting your gut is like Cam and I just had a situation where we woke up in the middle of the night and did I tell you this, Kels? We smelled Mm-mm. like a really strong skunk smell. And we just figured, oh my God, a skunk, you know, sprayed outside of our home or maybe they're trapped in the house. So crazy. But we started Googling and apparently sometimes a gas leak can smell like skunk. And so it was like 3:30 a.m. And we're like, look, it's a 50-50% chance. It's like, okay, it's either fine or it's really not fine. So we left at 4 a.m. Wow. And luckily my mom doesn't live too far. So we slept on her couch for the evening and just to make sure before we could, you know, get it all checked out and make sure it was fine. But, just those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to take a chance here. Why don't we just get out of here? Because I had no idea that apparently, because if there's a gas doesn't smell like anything. So right. they usually put a chemical in there that either smells like skunk or it smells like rotten egg. And we're like, right. we don't know which chemical they put in this, in our unit. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm like, but yeah, just better safe than sorry. If you can, you know, trust yourself, trust your instinct. And, you know, even if it is fine, like the whole skunk thing was fine. I was so glad that we just left anyway. I wouldn't have been able to sleep in that situation, you know?
Yeah. And I'm so glad we have dogs. As much as it drives us crazy when we're like trying to podcast and they start barking, I love having a dog now and just knowing that, like, you know, they see everything.
Oh, but, yes.
Yeah.
Well, go get this book. Buy this book for everybody.
Yep. Follow them online.
Yeah.
And if you are in Huntsville, Nashville, or Atlanta, I can't wait to see you this week. Please come to those shows. And please go listen to Delaney's podcast, Career Crush.
Yeah, I would love to have you. DelaneyFisher.com.
Yay. All right, guys. Everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, we want to give a big shout out to Tajani Inouye for creating our newest fabulous self-helpless podcast theme song. Oh, you may have noticed. We've changed it up.
Yes. Yeah, the podcast got a makeover and it, oh my God, I love the song so much. What a beautiful voice of an angel. Yes. And thank you so much. We love it.
Oh my God, it's been so nice. Like, yeah, every couple seasons of the show, we have a new artist create a custom song for us. And that's just always such a fun process. So thanks again to Johnny. We really appreciate it. Maybe thank you for tuning in to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com.
We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, left an iTunes review, or feel free to post it on your Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast. Thanks, guys. Helpless.